if it wasn't Brother Ross. But when Pastor asked me to do this once more, it just shows you his level of desperation. And obviously, many people probably said no, they wouldn't do it. But I'm honored. And once again, I am nervous. It's a thing that's, when this is up here, you probably can't hear my heart beating as much as it is. So it's one I prayed about. And Jeff's back there if anybody wants to let him in. Okay. with the singing tonight, God just made it sure this is, kind of made it solid in my head and heart that this is what he would have me to do, I guess. So if you would turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 20 and 21. There's oftentimes, like many of you that take notes, that I stack up, all the either the prayer sheets or bulletins, write down notes and or things that you hear through preaching or singing that it just comes to your mind. And this was one of them. I don't know if it was an actual title that a preacher had done, or if it was one that it just came to you, kind of a deal that most people have. But call it, God's word is inspired, not expired. Okay, so when I said, well, I'm going to say this title, everybody's going to think of, going to be, 2 Timothy 3:16, not yet. So I'm going to start here, and before we start, I want to ask the Lord to help. Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to help me calm the nerves. Lord, govern my tongue to not only say what you would have me to say. Lord, the sole desire here is to glorify you, edify one another, and Father, I just ask you to just help us. Just be with us. Help me, Lord, say the only things that you would want me to say. And, Lord, we love you. And, Father, we want to honor you here. Amen. Okay. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, if that's true, okay, that the Bible is inspired, God breathed, right? So, which means it's eternally true, okay? Right. Just like John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, the Word was God, okay? So that means there's no fallacy. It does not exist in our Bible that we read in the King James Version, okay? So, if that's true, that means God cannot lie, as it says in Titus 1:2, and also in Hebrews 6:18, which makes also 2 Timothy 3:16 true. Okay? There's no fallacy. You just keep going like this, and it's nothing but truth, no matter where you go in the Bible. And I don't know about you, but that gives me a boast of confidence to go out and talk to people or to believe in what I believe. If I didn't believe what I believed, I wouldn't be here. Okay? I wouldn't be in this church. So, because there's no fallacy, there's no breakdown in this. What does break down? Things of this world. It eventually breaks, rots. Brother Jeff, you weld. You know, you're fixing things as it's broken down over time. It rusts, whatever the case may be. Or it changes form. I'm not saying evolution, but like milk. Has anybody had milk and it turns form? It turns from liquid, it separates, and then you get a little curdles. That may have happened a little bit more whenever it was just me living at my house. But since I got married back then in December, there's same things that have changed. So, I might have forgotten a half gallon of milk that's been sitting back there. You know, it gets tucked away for 4 or 5 months. You just don't open that inside. But, keep that in mind. You know, so it's old milk because it's expired. It has an expiration date. This does not.
Amen.
Okay? This Bible does not. God's Word does not. So, what's the purposes of the Bible? Okay? Why do we read this? Why are we doing what we're doing? Well, that's where I turn into 2 Timothy 3:16. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I'm not. So, the first one is for belief. Okay? Not specific order, but this is what I'm going to read. It's for belief. It reveals to us what to believe about Jesus. Okay? From the beginning to the end, it speaks about Jesus. And that's what our sole purpose is here, is to tell people when we go out soul winning, knocking on doors, or even with family members, we're supposed to sell our salvation. What God has done for us. Okay? No matter your background, Jesus can help you. Okay? And so number two, it's for spiritual growth. Okay? It's to help us become more mature. It's to furnish us so we can live a life pleasing to God. Okay? So in 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever." Amen. So we're supposed to grow in grace. Okay? Number three, it's for cleansing. Yeah. All right? It shows us who we are and what we can be or should be. All right? It may have been even the first year here. I've always driven a white car. And I was talking with a brother, Mallory. I said, I didn't realize how dirty that car was. I drive a lot on gravel roads until I washed it. He says, that's a lot like sin. That's what this Bible does. You don't realize what you are until you start reading it. Until you see this mirror that the Bible is. When it reflects to you what you are and why you need Jesus. Yes. Okay? So it's for cleansing. All right? So in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? So that's for cleansing. Now it talks about the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Okay? There's nothing that we talk about all the fallacies and the false teachings that we have and the Bibles, these false Bibles. I thought that was maybe the kind of the route I was going to go, because I was trying to convince my brother. He carries, my youngest brother, Drew. Some of you have met him. He carries an NIV. And, what does everybody say? It's easier to read. Are you kidding me? It's not. It's not at all. Okay? There's a pamphlet back here. If any of you haven't read it, I encourage you to grab it. I started reading through that, again, and it refreshed my mind. The amount of verses, words, and changes of either they're not there or they've changed. Okay? And there was, I'm not going to go into that. That's not part of it, but that's one of it too. Okay? So for guidance, that's our number four, is guidance. Let's turn to 1 Peter. We're already there. All right, now let's turn back to chapter number four, please. So for guidance, that's for the right path, okay, that we ought to take. Narrow is the way, okay? It's easy to jump outside the bounds. It's real easy, okay? But we make it harder than it's got to be, all right? I kind of picture it as if you've ever been bowling, what happens when the little kids, what do they have? They have little rails, okay? If you don't hit it too hard, you stay within it, okay? You might get smacked a little bit, but you stay within the path of the alley. Okay? If you throw it real hard, if you've ever seen anybody throw it hard, it will go over the rails. And what happens? It's hard to get back in. Or if it doesn't. It would be hard if somebody was pushing it. It would be harder to put it back in than it is to pop it out. Okay? I just kind of thought of that as I was writing this down. But in 1 Peter 4, first verse here. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live rest of his time in flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So our guidance, we should be to the will of God. Not by what our lust, not by our wants, not by what we think is right, what our feelings tell us. Because how many times have we followed our feelings and our heart? We know what it says in Jeremiah about our heart. Okay, deceitfully wicked. If we do that, we get out of bounds. We get out of God's will. Okay, so number five, let's turn to Psalm 125. Verses 1 through 5. So number five is for defense and armor. Of course, everyone thinks, think of defense or the whole armor. That's Ephesians 6, chapter number 6, verses 11 through 17. But I like this one as well. Psalm 125. I'm just going to read the five verses here. Okay?
They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel.
Now it's talking about Israel, but are we not his people as well, if we're saved? Okay, so this tells me that he is our hedge of protection. We talk about having a hedge of protection on our family, this church. Well, if he's the creator, the Almighty, what more do we need? What defense do we have? So this Bible's also, if we believe that this is inspired and not expired, okay, it means that this is to help us against sin and temptation in the ways of the devil. Okay? So, I like that God is our hedge of protection. He is our protector. All right. So here's the part where I was like, oh boy. So if we believe what I just went through, if we believe all that is true,
yes, sir.
Okay, and there's a reason why, I wouldn't be here. Like you guys would not be here, I don't believe. So if we believe that, we should believe this, that God is holy. We should glorify him. Honor those in authority positions. Respect the things that God has given us, and God's word is our final authority. Okay, that's what we should do. So then why oftentimes do we not show it or live it? Okay, so that's why we need to live like this is inspired, never ceasing, always true, and not expired like the old milk sitting in your fridge that you can just cast out and choose which one you want and when you want don't want to take it. Okay, so I'm going to say something here that only very few people have heard me say directly to them. Is the word love. There's one of them sitting back there in the back pew. Okay? I'm not, if you guys know me, I'm not a very touchy-feely guy. But recent events have softened my heart a little bit. But more so, when you start thinking about what Jesus did for us, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I read the Gospels, I almost start to cry when I think about what Jesus did on the cross and did that torture that he took for me, for you. Like, why would you do that? A man sinless, innocent. It did nothing. He did nothing wrong. And then you watch all the evil in the world that a lot of things, they'll have their reward. God says that. But why him? Well, we know why, but it's still, I love Jesus, so this is why I'm going down through here this. I shouldn't have to prove it from lip service, okay? It should be by my attitude, by my heart, my tongue, my works, what I do for him, and how I treat or respect others, okay? Let's turn to James 2:18. I like James, I like Proverbs, and I don't know about you guys, I'm kind of a person that likes to, you pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and just take care of it. If you mess up, fix it, don't do it again type of a thing. I like James because it slaps you upside the head, it realizes what you are. I like that. Not that I like cruelty, but every now and again, I'm kind of a stereotype. I need to be slapped upside the head. I think a lot of us do, you know, and sometimes we've maybe go down the path where it's been too good for too long and we think that it's because of us. And God just kind of, you're nothing. Okay? You're here to serve me. Amen. Okay? You're right. So, James 2, verse number 18. Yea, a man say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So with, you know, when I said that it should be about the works, this verse clearly says, you know, it's nothing about salvation with your works, okay? But we ought to do things for the Lord because of what he's done for us, okay? If we sit like a bump on a log, we get saved and we do nothing, how are we supposed to tell other folks that he's important to us? Okay? That's been convicting me. It shouldn't have taken this, okay, our Bearing Precious Seed campaign, for me to get out there and talk to people. Okay? It shouldn't have done that. So there's going to be some of these things that you're going to be like, well, you just need to shut up. Well, this is for me too, okay? And it's really kind of convicted me on that. I am a cattle buyer, if you guys don't know that. I talk to farmers, truckers, I talk to people every day. I bet I had over 200 phone calls today, in and out, texts and emails in addition to. Okay? I've always had an ability to talk to folks. Okay? That's a gift. Okay? Not shyness is a gift. I have no business not going telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? So, if, again, we believe that this is inspired and not expired, why are we losing folks to the emerging church and to other Bibles? Okay? It's pretty simple. I can tell you, as a personal testimony, I'm not trying to disrespect him, but my father, okay, we went to church. My grandfather was my preacher growing up. As soon as Dad, he led the songs. Dad's got a great voice. I love to hear him sing. But as soon as he sat down in the pew, he'd sat right down the back, right where I actually sit, in relationship to this church, hand on his face, and out, as soon as my grandpa started preaching. Now, I am, you know, I noticed this. I'm six, 8 years old, all the way up teenage years. Folks, if you don't believe that kids are watching you, you're fooling yourself. Okay, it's no excuse. I know what was right and wrong. I knew it was not right to sleep in church because you're not getting anything out of it. Okay? But that shows to your kid that it's not important enough to you to stay awake. I understand people get tired with work. I understand that. I do. But I can tell you, anybody that says complain about physical work, Brother Tom, I know you can relate to this. Whenever I was a teenager and I was younger and all that kind of stuff, but physical work, I got more energy after physical work than after mental. Whenever you're in the office and you're always constantly thinking about stuff, you're more tuckered out, you know, with that. I mean, and some of you others that have done it as well, okay? Now, working long hours, I get it, all right? Don't come at me, all right, about that. So, you know, why are we losing to other Bibles? Because how many times have you even heard people of our own stripes say, man, this is hard to read. I don't understand this. Well, if you don't understand it, ask somebody who does. Some of the elders in the church, pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, okay? And how many times have we went through here, maybe God is at this time not wanting to reveal that to you. Okay? Maybe it's later on down the road. How many times can you guys have personal testimony go through it? You have read that verse how many times? Multiple times. And it just, whoa, it hits you. Okay? So, we need to respect God's word for what it is. Okay? It's the living, breathing word of God. It's eternally true. All right? So, also, and we say amen all the time to this because we tend to lean a certain direction of more conservative. But why is the victim mentality so prevalent? To me, that gets my goat. Okay? I cannot stand the victim mentality. There is more opportunity in this country than you could ever think about in any other place in this world. If you bust your hump, you can do almost anything you do. There are limitations on what a person can do. God gives us different talents. Okay? But do the best you can with those God-given talents. Okay? And we are more than conquerors. If we have Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 through 39 states that we're more than conquerors, and nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. If that is the case, how can we have a victim mentality? If we're not separated from the Holy Creator, the All-Knowing, the All-Powerful, how can we have a victim mentality? If we have a victim mentality and you get offended all the time, don't the young folks see that too? And, okay, I said this in Acts 18, so this is somewhat of a repetition. But as a little kid, okay, I looked up to the teenagers. Man, they're cool. I want to be like them. You know, as teenagers, I wanted to be like the young 20-year-olds and go on. You know, oh man, they're cool. I didn't think this, but I know some of you young ladies do. I want that marriage, okay? If you come in here fake, people know that. We know it. You don't have to say it, but you know it, okay? Kids pick up on that. No, they don't. You did. Okay? People aren't stupid. And here's one. Why is names God used in vain? Is it not a commandment, thou shalt not? Okay? We use it as a punchline, as a sometimes an exclamation. Instead of saying, wow. Why is Jesus' name, why is God's name used as that? Why? You don't use your mom's name. You don't say, oh, Gertrude. You don't say that. Who says that? No one. And then if you heard somebody do that about your mom's name, you'd probably dot their I. Okay? I know if anybody was talking about it with my mom's name, I'd dot your I. I got to pray about that now. I shouldn't have that spirit. But, okay? So, you know, now with... And I'll tell you about this one. I was in middle school. Okay? I knew right from wrong. I just grew up in church. I had a friend named Anthony. As far as I know, Anthony wasn't saved, but I don't know, okay? But I use Jesus' name in vain. And before I get to there, using his name in vain is when you're not talking directly to him or about him, okay? So I said it as an exclamation point, God's holy name. And he says, you're not supposed to use Jesus' name in vain. Who's this guy telling me? I'm a church kid. And, you know, I grew up in a church. Why is he telling me?
Yeah, that's
you know? You know what? From then on.
Amen.
No, you can't.
Amen.
Okay? But it shouldn't have taken that.
Right. Right.
But it did. Okay? Right. So, now, why do... another point. Why do pastors, deacons, teachers, etc., why are they disrespected? That's another thing that gets me. I know there's sarcasm, we're a pretty sarcastic church. But there's a little bit of difference between joking sarcasm and the kind that you stick in the back and you twist. Okay? There's a difference. And if you don't know the difference, come see us back there. We'll show you. Okay? Yeah. So, now, in 1 Timothy 5:17, are the pastors not considered double honor? To count it for double honor. Okay? Not worshiping, but respecting. If we believe that it's inspired and uninspired, we are supposed to honor our pastor and those that he puts in positions of authority. Okay? If you disrespect or talk ill of our pastor or any pastor, and your kids or anybody else hears it, and you're a respected individual or not, what's that going to do? Why should your young folks care what the man of God says if you're cutting him off at his knees before you even get out the door or even in your car?
Well, right.
Okay? If you don't believe that Pastor Mast is not the man of God or anybody, Brother Matter, whoever, if you don't believe that, why are you here? Okay? I don't know if you guys are not, okay? I didn't want to do this. My whole point is so I can make you mad so Pastor doesn't let me do this again. Okay? All right. Yeah. You're not supposed to mention that. So, you know, again, we're not to worship man. Okay? But we're supposed to honor them. We're supposed to take care of them when they're needed taken care of. Okay. That's enough about that. So, talked about, you know, show how we treat and things and God, what he's given us. So what about this church? Okay. Why do we not care about the things that God has given us? Has he not given us this building? Okay. Has he not given us money to go out sowing in the tracks and all that kind of stuff? All right. We ought to care what this church house looks like. Okay. Jesus cared. Did he not throw out the money changers? Okay. I understand what they were doing, but did he not care what was going on? And if he didn't care, then why in Exodus from chapter 25, verse 23 through 27 through 21, did he give specific detail of how he wanted it built? Okay? Brother Porter, you did. Before I got in action, you guys built it to the exact what it said there in Exodus. Did you not? If he didn't care, why would he have said it? Okay? All right. Here's the one. So, he gave precise instructions how to build the tabernacle. If God did not care, why did he give qualifications for the pastor, qualifications for the deacons? Okay? He cares. Standards that we must uphold on what, how, and who our leaders of the church should be. Okay? I believe we do. I believe we hold them at a high standard. And with those high standards, too much is given, much is required. But it's also required for us to respect that. All right. So one thing we'll say here and shout to the rooftops and talk about the emerging churches and say, it's a coffee shop, it's an entertainment center. It's a coffee shop. They got Starbucks in there. They're like, hey, man, hit them. Okay, we don't have a coffee shop, but we bring the coffee shop in. Okay? Do we not? This is one I know folks do, okay? But you say that, you know, I don't see kids bringing around you. All the kids will dump them. Okay? Well, if they can't have them, why do you? Well, adults don't dump them. Tell that to the stains on our carpet. Pastor truly cares about how this looks. And if, now this is a reflection on us too. Okay? If we come in here and there's stains all over, there's paint chipping, we don't sweep or whatnot. Okay? What's that going to tell to visitors that come in? That we don't care enough about what God has given us, why should they? Okay? Don't try to be mean, but you know what? It is what it is. And I don't like that we had to clarify everything all the time, too. That's part of victim mentality. Just take the lumps and go on. I don't know why I'm fired up. There's other things that happened today, so sorry. but we shouldn't have it dirtier than we found it. Okay? I'm not bragging on myself or anything, but that's the way I was raised. If you borrowed something and you gave it back to someone, you gave it back cleaner or better. Brother Josh let me borrow this because my lawnmower was broken. He let me borrow it a couple of times. I cleaned it and I filled that sucker all the way up gas until it was almost tipping out. Okay? Not bragging, but if somebody lets you borrow something, bring it back better. Same way with this church. If you say, well, I don't dump it, there's evidence everywhere. Okay? This is God's house. It's not ours. Okay, we ought not to say, well, somebody else will do it. Right. That's ridiculous. Okay, we ought to respect God's things. And if you don't, you're disrespecting those who actually do clean. Yep. And those like Pastor who expect us to take care of it. He shouldn't be here 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night cleaning things. You know, in his family. Shouldn't do it. Okay. It's disrespectful to God. I want visitors. I don't know about you guys, but I want visitors to come in. I want them to become members. I want them to be part of the family of God. But if they go through all this that we just, all these questions that I asked, why would they? Okay. Brother Courtney Lewis talked about what kind of church that he would join. What convicted me about that was, I agree with you, sir. That is the church that I would join. This is the church who I think this is. But I have got to be that type of church member for that to be that type of a church. Okay? So also about the house, the temple of God, our bodies, right? We're supposed to glorify our God in our body and the spirit. And our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So talking about like sins, okay? Why we cannot defile ourselves. So, All this is to be said is if you truly believe God's word is inspired and not expired, we should believe all this. We should believe these scriptures. We should have a respect for God. Those that are in our power, is in authoritative positions in our church, we ought to respect them. We should care about what we say. Okay? You know, I truly care for this church. I truly care for the. I may have made some people mad. That was not my intention, but sometimes, like I said, you need to be slapped upside the head, and I was one of them. Okay? I like when God does that. Okay? I don't know about you, but I like when God says, listen, you're getting out of bounds. You're not right. And if all this that I said you're not doing, hallelujah. Don't look down your beak at people and think you're better, because it's by the grace of God that we're not worse off than what we are. Okay? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is what I have.